God has a gift for you to receive today, if you haven't already.
To receive this gift of eternal life, God's blessings in your life, what do you need to do? You just need to take it. It's a gift. When someone gives you a gift, you take it. You know, you don't have a birthday party and everybody brings their gifts and say, no, thank you, no gifts today. No, you take your gifts. He says, I want to give you this eternal life. I want to give you this gift. You got to take it. And then what do you do when you take it? You sit there and look at it and say, oh, it's beautiful. And you don't even know what's in there. No, you unwrap it. He wants you to take this gift and, in a way, unwrap it in that you're getting to know Him. To know Him.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Long ago, the Jews had a great advantage as they were given God's word and told about the coming Messiah, but they didn't see it as the privilege it really was, but rather became self-righteous. Fast forward to today, we've got a big advantage in having the Word of God as well. But do we see those advantages and live as we should in light of them? Well, that's the question today on Sound Doctrine. Listen to part two of Pastor Jeff Johnson's message, But I'm a Christian, So What?
So God desires obedience to His Word, faith in Jesus Christ. Paul knew the Jew would throw up this smokescreen, and he would try to sidestep the issue. Notice verse 3. He goes on to say, "For what if some, not all Jews, but if some did not believe?" And that the Jewish mind thinks this way. "Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" The next objection, of course, does the lack of faith nullify the law? Well, absolutely not. It does not, in one way. But unbelief does hinder their entrance into the promised land. And we saw that as they came and they didn't take that step of faith. It severs our connection with God, even to Christians today. Unbelief is the thief. It robs us. Again, they fail to be a light to the Gentiles. And it says the same about us. Unbelief is you know, coming into our lives, and it does do one thing good. It validates God's word that unbelief does these things. I mean, God's word says if you walk in unbelief, this is what's going to happen. And we've experienced that. But we're seeking to believe. We're seeking to be believers. And remember, we've gotten into that word over and over again. What that means is not just an intellectual belief. It means so much more. You lay your life down. You adhere. You cling to. You rely upon. You trust in. It's a total handing over your life. It's a walk with God. It's a personal relationship. But God continues on. I mean, He is faithful. I mean, just because of their, you know, some of the Jews did not believe, didn't stop God from sending the Messiah. No, He's going to send the Messiah. The Messiah came. God is faithful. Well, but I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in Jesus. It doesn't change anything by you saying that. Things are going to happen no matter what. What God said is going to take place. The fact is that God is true. Let every man be a liar. I mean, 2 + 2 is what? Is that a fact? 2 + 2 is full. So God is true. I mean, you can't get around that over and over again. We are the liar. Now, notice verse 4. He says, "Perish the thought. God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Interesting. That's quoted in Psalm 51, verse 4. So the word says, if you draw near to me, God says, I will draw near to you. So, you know, every man's a liar in that God hasn't stopped loving. God hasn't stopped drawing. God hasn't stopped his program just because there's unbelief. But that's an excuse. It's a smokescreen. Christianity is an experience with a risen Savior. His word is true, and it will change your life. Unbelief can't alter or change this fact. If you sow, you will reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. That's a law of God. It's a fact. You can't escape that principle. God doesn't benefit by our believing. Guess who benefits by our believing? We do. So would you believe? Would you believe? I mean, I am the resurrection and life. He that liveth and believeth in me, though you're dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You believe this? Oh my gosh. Your entire life will be changed. That's powerful. So God will keep his word. He will honor it above his name, the scripture says. The cross is foolishness to those who perish and turn away and say, I don't want it. But unto us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. It's powerful. So his word is true. As David was writing down in Psalm 51, he's just in judgment. And God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. I mean, come on. The wages of sin is death. It'll always be that way. You can't get away from that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Good news! There's the bad news first. You want the bad? Always, God gives us the bad news first. And then he says, here's the good news. What are you going to do with it? Wow, I mean, it's black and white. So he that believeth shall be saved, but he who believes not shall be damned. It's very clear. Verse 5. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. But you know what's interesting about this? The third objection here is the Jewish reasoning. It's so bizarre. I don't know if you've ever heard two Jews talk about things. It is bizarre. I mean, you know who designed a camel? A Jewish council. They just got together and put this thing together. Because they always argue and can't get their act together. And their reasoning is not, well, I guess it's skewed in a way. But they just continue to argue. And they have these weird reasonings. So they always take it out of context. It's always a bending of the word. You know, if God's righteousness appears in a clear light because of our sin, how can God blame us for our sin? He'd be unrighteous, you know. Well, where'd you get that? You know, that's reasoning that is bizarre. It doesn't go with the scriptures. And that's their argument, and that's what he puts forth here. So he says, you know, notice verse 6. Oy vey, God forbid, what are you talking about? That's really God forbid. Oy vey. And then, how shall God judge the world, Paul says. So Paul's answer is no way. If God can't judge the Jews' sins because it reveals his righteousness, then the Gentiles are also not guilty. Then there's no judgment. And yet God's divine judgment is not affected by human sin. I mean, he's going to judge no matter what. If we sin, his righteous judgment is still just, isn't it? It's still just. He judges our hearts and our motivations. He judges reality. He judges where you're at right now. Again, it's clarity, really. But the Jew tries to skew it. He, smoke screen, you know. No, well, let's reason this out. You know, let's talk about it. And it's just bizarre. The Jew's unbelief is sin. He's guilty because he's broken the law. Our law today is interesting. It really reasons the person is not guilty because of the results of a crime. That's not why a person is guilty, because of the results of a crime. It's like the forger who writes bad checks. The employer stops the payment on the checks, and there's no loss. That's true. But the forger is still guilty, right? And the law is not unfair if it still punishes him for forgery, is it? It's not unfair. He broke the law, even though nothing was lost. And so what are they saying? Well, you know, the end justifies the means. No, that's not how God works. Man's responsible for what? His own sin. Every man, woman, and child are responsible. This is in Ezekiel 18, verse 4. We are all responsible, our kids. See, parents, you need to hold your kids responsible for their sin, for how they're blowing it. There has to be repercussions for what they have done. If you don't do that, they'll never understand. It's still going to come out wrong. They're still going to get it. Whatever you sow, you reap. But as parents, we can teach them. And if you teach them God's way, they're going to be okay, because they're going to get some direction then. Oh, they're going to blow it. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to sin. They're going to really do some knucklehead things. But then they learn. But at least you've taught them, and you've saved them from many heartaches. The price has got to be paid one way or another, right? So God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? 4, verse 7. If the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie, look at this reasoning, through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Paul knows the Jewish mind. He knows what they're going to bring up next. 4th objection, another smokescreen trying to dodge the issue. Sin, there's no black or white sins, okay? Sin is sin. When you miss the mark, you miss the mark. Look, you missed the bullseye. Everybody can see it. You didn't hit the black. It's the bullseye. You hit the white. I can see it. I got my binoculars on. You blew it. Okay, if you want to, let's look closer at it. Oh, no, you blew it. Sin is sin. James says this, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a heavy statement. Over in 1 John, in chapter 3, verse 4, let me just read it to you. He says, whosoever commits sin, 1 John 3, 4, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So what was the law put there for? To show us that we sin. And it reveals it. So sin is transgression of the law. You're missing the mark. What did Adam and Eve, or actually what Eve did, way back in Genesis 3, 6, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, so deceived by the eyes, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the flesh, and a tree to be desired, now here it is, to make one wise, pride. I want to be wise. I want to be like God. She did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. That was when Adam and Eve sinned. It was called the Adam bomb. It just wiped out all humanity in a way. And that was a big one, huh? That affected everyone throughout all the generations, throughout all the history of mankind. Isaiah says it this way, Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one to our own way. We have blown it. We have sinned. Romans chapter 1, if you want to turn over there to verse 18, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They're determined to go their own way. They're suppressing the truth. They're not wanting to deal with it. They're not wanting to be honest before God. They're running from God, not wanting to repent. So sin will and must be judged, or God is not just. And many have done this. They've thought this way. They thought, if my lie glorifies God. Let me give you an example. There was a guy called Michael X. Essies, and he used to be a teacher out at Melodyland way back. Now I'm dating myself, but it was over there by Disneyland. There was a big Christian thing going on, and they had a huge Christian college, and then Michael Essies wrote a number of books, and he presented himself as a Jew, as a rabbi. He was neither, and he got busted, and it was a shameful thing, but, you know, I'm sure he reasoned his mind, well, if my lie went to the glory of God, it's okay. Well, how about Mike Warnke? Anybody know Mike Warnke? Ever heard of that guy? He said he was a witch, and he wrote books, and he went around a circuit and spoke, made big bucks. Mike Warnke, a converted witch. He was never a witch. He didn't do any of those things. He just sold it. And how many other guys are doing that? But it's bizarre. But it's kind of like to stretch the story and give God the glory. That's not right. It's a lie. And that's what he is saying here in verse 7. So over in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, notice his reasoning there. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Hey, if sin's going to glorify God, let's just continue in sin. Let's really glorify him. Weird reasoning. But that's how they thought. And finally, well, actually, I'm going to do two more verses. Verse 8. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, or the believers are saying, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation, he says, is just. So these are lies. I've got to be careful in what I say, and I'm learning more and more. I sometimes, motor mouth me, not realizing, you'll be quoted for that one. That's good, Jeff. Yeah, way to go. And at times, I know I'm going to be, taken out of context, even though I didn't even say it. So I think all of us need to learn a lesson from that. We need to be careful what we say and what we don't say. Again, the end justifies the means. If bingo, if a church dance, if a booze party raises money for the church, is that good? Let's just do that. Well, that's wrong. And that's what he's saying here. I heard of a church bookkeeper who stole hundreds of thousands of dollars, and he pleaded the Robin Hood justification. Well, I'm just taking from those that have and giving it to the have-nots. And he justified himself in doing that. Is that good? But just how we think. It's like buying indulgences to build a church. Indulgences are get-out-of-hell-free cards, I guess you'd call them. And you're building the church with that? And they're just giving these things out? And it's all a lie. So their end, Paul says, is just. And what they're going to get, they deserve because of these lies. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So our enemy is going to seek to use those that are weak, the pawns, those that are not good witnesses, those that are living a lie, those that are carnal Christians, those that are compromising. He will use those to the maximum to try to blind others and use it as a lies to others to deceive them. He's good at what he does. Well, they were saying that Paul said, do evil so grace can abound. Or the Christians were saying this, do evil so grace can abound. This is actually called destructive perversion of sound doctrine, of healthy teaching. It's perverting that which is real and making it into a lie and hurting others with that lie. No, what Paul really said is where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. That's what he said. That's what we're saying today. It's grace, unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor that has its effect in our lives. And finally, verse 9, what then? Are we, Christians, better than they? No. In no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So all under sin's curse. Everybody. I love what Paul says in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2, he says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, talking to Christians, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's how you were living. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. At one time, you were called a child of disobedience. You didn't obey God. It's furthest things from your mind. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of living in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, in the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we were called, children of disobedience, children of wrath. I mean, we knew we were going to get it. If there really was a hell, we were going, and we'd laugh about it. Yeah, all my friends are going to be there. No, you'll be in outer darkness alone without God's love. So no smokescreen is going to be able to stand. No excuse is going to be good enough. Everyone is guilty. The heathen are judged by creation. The hypocrite is judged by his conscience. And the Hebrews, they're judged by the commandments of the Lord. God speaks actually three different ways. Through his creation, and we've gone over this, the outward, of just beholding the flowers, the intricate little bugs and the birds and just all of his creation. There's got to be a creator. So his creation, the outward, he speaks. Man's conscience, the inward, his heart, what he's got in his heart. It condemns him because God's put his word there to go after him. And then finally, his commandments, spiritually speaking. And until man sees this and faces this, you know, there's going to be more excuses. But you can't enjoy God's blessings if you put up smoke screens. But here's the thing. Cigarettes will kill you. Not obeying God and going through his son, Jesus Christ, will kill you. That's the fact. To be able to say that I am a Christian, and I thank God and I praise God for that, and to stand on Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. To be able to say that I am in Christ Jesus and he is in me. There's no greater knowledge, no greater experience. All the smoke screens and excuses are done. He's my only hope.
Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine, and we've been in Romans chapter 3 today, covering the first 9 verses. Hey, would you like today's study from Romans on CD? You can purchase a copy when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. I should also mention, you can replay today's program at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Well, it's back to school time, and so we thought it might be helpful to you as parents to offer you a series on parent-child relationships. Now, in this 4-part series, Pastor Jeff shares his personal testimony, including how he and his wife applied biblical truths in raising their children. Request the parent-child relationship four-part series on a thumb drive when you visit sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Sound Doctrine is made possible through the generous support of you, our listeners. And as we go through God's Word one verse at a time, we're looking to our listeners to help us continue the ministry. Together we can reach people with the love and truth of Christ and make a difference in these last days. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us 800-353-7553. We'll return to Romans next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. May God richly bless you as you take in and apply sound doctrine to your life in Christ. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,